Good afternoon, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It is Thursday, 3 o'clock, the 27th of June, 2024, if you must know. And we are going to see live here who the Bucks pick at 33, assuming they keep the pick. We're also going to catch everybody up, as you're aware, but maybe take some thoughts and comments on what the Bucks did at 23, which was selecting A.J. Johnson, who was playing in Australia prior to entering the draft. Young kid, raw. I think if you are like a team that is rebuilding, you're very excited, but that's not what the Bucks are doing. And so a lot of people are trying to figure out what exactly the Bucks are doing. So we will go through that. We'll hear from John Horst here. I'm going to rip some stuff off of Twitter, because I think I figured out how to do that successfully. And again, if you are on the podcast audio, like and subscribe. If you are on the YouTube stream, the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, you'll see the screens that I share throughout. So the big news up front is that the Bucks do select A.J. Johnson with the 23rd overall pick in this year's draft. He's a 6'5 guard. This is according to the Bucks release. 6'5 guard. Johnson spent the 2023-24 season with the Illawarra Hawks in Australia's National Basketball League as part of its Next Stars program. He barely played, and when he did, he never fucking scored that much. Oh, that got deleted. The 19-year-old appeared in 26 games with the Hawks in his first professional season. He is a native of Fresno, California. He was a four-star recruit coming out of 2023, and then he went to the NBL. So as a prospect, as a young man, you know, this guy's life is ahead of him. And I don't know that there's enough that I can break down about his game. I mean, I've seen people excited about it. I think the big thing here, though, is this the right pick at the right time? And even if you can say yes, did the right man make the pick? And I think this is more about John Horst, this selection, than it is about A.J. Johnson. I think it's more about John Horst than A.J. Johnson. The first thing I want to share is this is John Horst from the draft room. And just like right away, he even knows what he's doing is sort of a risk. This is John Horst. You can see him here with the Bucks in the draft room. And here he is.
We're going to go for a big swing here. We're going to take A.J. Johnson.
Chris,
yes.
We've got the son of David Dean, Luca Dean's about to tell you the Bucks pick. You ready, Luca?
Yeah.
That's great.
A.J. Johnson.
Oh, you got to speak up, man.
Say louder.
A.J. Johnson.
Got it. Confirming the Milwaukee Bucks selected A.J. Johnson.
Correct.
Correct.
A.J.
What's up,
man? I got Coach and Milt. Welcome to the Bucks, man.
All right, AJ. Congratulations.
My Doc's pumped.
Congrats, AJ. Good job, man.
AJ, you can go party all you want tonight, but tomorrow you got to get your little work. You ready?
100%.
You ready to work?
Yeah, I'm 1,000% ready to work. I said, thank you guys so much for believing.
We're going to go for a
big swing. So Doc is pretty pumped, but then again, as you see there, we're going to go for a big swing. And that's what John Horst is saying at pick number 23, which – Here, I'll just get to the point first. Could they have gotten him at 33? Could they have gotten him at 33? I think a lot of us think so. I think if we looked at the different projections and charts and facts and figures and analysis, there's a pretty good chance they could have got him at 33. Where they are picking here in about, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes, we'll say, as long as there's not another trade that's made. But this is an issue that I often talked about with the NFL draft and any draft, really, is if there's a guy that you like, get him. If there's a guy that you like, get him. This is your board. You're the one selecting. You're the one that is trying to be in charge of your team. If you like a guy at 23, even if you pick at 33, if you like a guy, is it worth waiting? What if you miss your guy? If coming in, this was their guy, and they're at 23, then I think you take him, if it's your guy. Now, that is typically how I think about the draft. I'm all about drafting early or taking reaches if it's your guy. The other part of that, though, and I'm thinking of fantasy and all the drafts, you know, we do in fantasy, is you also do need to be smart about it. You need to, just because you like have a sleeper in the seventh round, maybe, that doesn't mean you take him in the third round. If he's a sleeper for a reason, you know you can get him at value maybe there. Maybe you start thinking about the sixth round. So the Bucks clearly, like, they like this kid. They do. And I think the big issue at the top is, was 23 the spot to take him if you're drafting at 33? Now, do the Bucks eventually trade out? We're going to find out. I think the Raptors are on the clock here. We'll see. You know, there's plenty of options the Bucks could go at 33. By the time most of you listen to this, you'll know who they take, but it could be, I mean, Filipowski, who I kind of just resigned to the fact that they were taking him last night. And I was kind of into it. I don't know. It'd be different. It'd be, we'll see how he could be used. He's a bigger body. We need that if we are or are not trading certain guys. So the first issue, if you like your guy, get your guy. However, you do have to be smart about it. A lot of the analysis that came in regarding the Bucks and the selection basically says they did not need to take him at this spot. John Hollinger with The Athletic, the Bucks have been big fans of taking reaches like this in their recent draft history, even though the hit rate has been, actually, have they hit on any of these guys since Giannis? It's tougher when you're making late picks, obviously. Giannis was a pretty massive hit. Johnson has some athletic pop, but is rail thin and can't shoot, and is very much a developmental player who is highly unlikely to contribute this year. The Bucks are in need of more immediate help, so John Hollinger is surprised they didn't either trade down or trade out if it was the top player on their board. And again, that's where you need to be a little smart about things, is if there is a guy that you like, but nobody else likes him, then you've got an opportunity to maybe profit off of that, get some picks, still going to end up with your guy, and, you know, win, win, win on all different sorts. Different video that you can see of Johnson playing in the draft combine. There were some good reviews and reports of him in the draft combine. People liked him, but again, it reverted back to, this guy is probably a prospect. This is probably somebody later on that will take time to develop. And by later on, I mean like years. The ESPN listing says he's a fluid, talented guard, narrow frame, who's looking to build on the experience he picked up in the NBL. That was listed under his strengths. Weaknesses. He played sparingly last year because of his lack of strength. Defensive prowess and consistency remain a work in progress. The verdict, he has obvious things to build off of as his frame and game continue to mature, especially on a patient team willing to give him the reps he lacked in Australia. But the Bucks, despite being one of the teams most tied to him, do they have that sort of patience? And is this a guy that they need immediately? I did a hit on ESPN Lacrosse yesterday afternoon around this time. John Papadopoulos was interviewing or chatting, whatever you call it. But he had asked me about the draft. And he had framed it in a way where he said, do you take a guy with this pick that is going to immediately help the Bucks? And, you know, it ended up being a great question, because I was like, what's the other option? What's the other choice? They have a very finite window here. If they're keeping Brooke, Middleton, Dame, Giannis, I mean, yes, you need a guy to help you now. Or do you take a guy that can then, after Dame leaves, you've got a new era of Bucks ball? And then I'll say, almost like what I thought the Warriors were trying to do with the JV team and the varsity team, by the time that Draymond and Clay and Steph could have moved on, they could have then had, you know, Wiseman and Poole and Kuminga, and all these guys take over. That could have been the situation. Now it hasn't worked out to varying degrees. Kuminga looks good, but that didn't work out. So I thought what Golden State was trying to do was build the varsity team, and then when they were all ready to graduate, so to speak, you'd have the JV take over and wouldn't miss a beat. I don't see how the Bucks are in a position to do anything remotely close to that. I don't see anything close that they can do in that regard. You have, like, this is what I was saying about the Suns the other day. They've got a team that's got a lot of money invested in a few guys that are getting old. Their backs are kind of against the wall. They've got other guys that they have paid that they need to keep. So they can put out a decent starting five, but then the rest of the bench is a mystery. And I'm saying that about the Phoenix Suns before I realize I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. And it would be foolish if the Suns took a guy that you were like, oh, this guy, they're going to have their Beal and Durant and Booker era. And then once those guys leave, they're drafting a guy for the next in the first round. The second round, we're going to see guys get drafted like that. The second round, we're going to see stashes and all this kind of stuff, possibly. I just don't know that I agree with the philosophy. So, first of all, should they have taken this particular player at 23 instead of 33 if this was their man? Even if you can convince me yes, and that does go along with the philosophy that I've screamed about for years, then we get to the point of, well, why are you taking a guy for the future when you need a guy to impact you now? What's the point? Why are you doing that? And then even if you can justify that, then I think we get to the bigger issue here. Is John Horst the right guy to make this pick? And the history on that might say no. We'll hear from Horst a bit in 60. Just a clip. He's not joining my StreamYard, although the link is available. If he wants to, I'll throw it here in the YouTube comments. Again, John Horst, if you're trying to go for some last second, reaction and just take Tyler Kolek, whatever, who cares? Just take him. Fine. HappyPlaceHemp.com. That is the place to be. Yeah. That is the place to be. It is the place to go, though, if you want your gummies and tinctures and balms. They've got dog treats for dogs. So we've talked about that before, the spray, but they've got dog treats now to help them out. I think of all the stuff I've taken, the CBD or the THC free ones in the morning, those are really good. I do like to experiment a little bit because they go up to 50 milligrams and you can enjoy a night. And you can have the seltzers and enjoy a night pretty quickly. And it's a lot easier when we're doing these Law and Order nights at the home. Some of these episodes get pretty tense. Uncle Barty and Auntie Mrs. Barty need to calm down a little bit. So these gummies are great. And again, the seltzers, I think, are really good. You can get those at Ray's, too. And also, just stop in. Happy Place Hemp. They're in Muskego. But the thing to know is the promo code is BART. 25% off every single order. 25% off every order, every time. If you've ever ordered before, you can order again with the same code. It's not like, oh, I got to make a new account and get a fake email, like I do with Peacock and all those things. No, no. The promo code BART works every time. So stock up. It's a very quick delivery process. The code gets you the shipping as well. So try to get some in there before the 4th of July extended weekend. So everybody right now, let's take 5 minutes and go order. All right. Some comments. Adam asked if he's trade bait in 2 years. I just don't think the Bucks can be in a position to think past this year. That's the thing. I don't think they can be in a position to think past this year. And that is what they're doing, it seems, with the pick. You gotta win now. It's clear. You have Giannis. And even though Giannis is probably going to be here for an extended duration of time, he's had 3 chances to leave. He stayed every time. Even though that is the case, you gotta you gotta try to win, though. We don't want it to be like with Rodgers and like with Favre, where we just won one. You know, we don't want that. That can't be the situation that happens here again. I think with Giannis, it's a little different because the history of the Bucks is a little different. But we don't, they have an opportunity. You wouldn't have traded for Dame. And that's the other thing. Drew won now. And I do think you need to react to that. Because everybody looks around and says, you lost that trade. Even though you did not trade Drew to Boston, and I don't think people give a shit about that scenario, but even though that's not the case, you need to go out and you need to win. So you need to win now. John Horst was speaking about how he thinks that AJ Johnson can be a win now guy. And I want to give you that answer from John Horst. Eric Name had asked the question yesterday. And to do that, I will unmute the website that I am presenting to you.
Yeah, I think part of it is looking at the growth and development of our current roster. I think we saw AJ Green get on the floor last year. We got Andre Jackson get on the floor. Marjon has been able to get on the floor. Chris Livingston's having a great summer. We have a roster with young players that are growing and developing, have figured out how to contribute already on our team, a really good team. Doesn't mean that AJ Johnson, got a lot of AJs, AJ Johnson can't do that. But I feel very confident about the group that we have already. And so that gives us an opportunity for him to grow and develop in the right way, mature in the right way, both physically and his game. But he's got incredible speed, quickness. He's got a pass-first mentality, but with a really high-level scoring game. And so I think he also fits within that crew skill set wise. And I think those guys all have different skill sets that they can bring to our table. And he brings something that maybe, you know, Andre Jackson is the only other one that really brings from a speed component. I love the way he plays at different gears. He can go fast. He can play in second gear, third gear. He can really slow it down. He's great at deceleration, which is something that we study a lot. And so his change of pace, I think, is going to give him a chance to, although he is skinny, he's a lot stronger than he was. He's already getting stronger. He's got a great frame. But that's not going to be his gift. It's his speed and his fluid, that fluid athleticism, and really his mentality.
All right, so just a bunch of GM speak. I did need to remove myself from the Dan Shaney YouTube for a minute to change my hat for it's very warm in this bedroom, and I was sweating, and I don't want to ruin that hat. So I did make a quick hat change. Round two is underway, by the way. They've moved it into the ESPN Seaside Studios, where the players have come also, and then Bob Myers and Stephen A. Smith are on set. Like, are they all in the same room? Are these kids going to get drafted and Stephen A. Smith's going to be over there saying, I don't know who this guy is? Excellent addition to the draft coverage. Very cool. AJ says, and not AJ Green, and not AJ Johnson, and not Andre Jackson Jr., who we call Ajax. That reason alone, dude, I probably would have skipped. I probably would have skipped on that. This is not in prime time because I'm pretty sure because of the debate. There is a debate tonight. So check it out. I'm on the air during the second hour of the debate, which I'm not fond of, but we'll see how that goes. Might just replay some interviews. Got to watch. It's my civic duty to watch. With an open mind, it's my civic duty to watch. But that's why. I kind of like the two-day thing now. I didn't think I would. This is another thing where I didn't think I would like it, but I'm down with it. Just because, for the main reason, last night was exhausting trying to keep up with everything. Because of all these trades. And again, with the NBA, we have the same gripes. All these trades, who's getting traded, who got traded, who actually made that pick. It's a lot. It is pretty exhausting. So it's nice to at least have a little breather and then see. And there are some trades that happened today. Some, you know, AJ Griffin got traded from the Hawks to the Rockets. Who else got traded? Lindy Waters, I think, got traded. So, you know, there's some movement today in the NBA as of now. Mark says, I don't trust Horst drafting. He can trade for sure, but he can't trap. The trade thing, though, too, Like, he has given up a lot of picks for the Jay Crowders and Serge Ibaka's of the world. So he's made some trades that have helped. But I think the big reason that the Bucks are kind of in this position is because the drafting has not been good. Imagine, I'll show you this tweet from Bucks Lead. They listed it out. But imagine if any of these picks hit, the different circumstances the Bucks would be in. Because this team, how built, like Giannis is the guy. Brooke, no. Bobby, no. Pat, no. Middleton, no. Dame, no. Drew, wasn't. Anybody that's had an impact is not a draft pick of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think that's a big indictment on this John Horst era. But it seems like this entire time, the whole point of John Horst is to keep Giannis around, which he succeeded at. And they won a title. So if you're grading out his era, if you're trying to figure out, well, just how good is this guy? He kept Giannis here multiple times. And they won a title. That would mean it's a success. But look at all these draft picks in the Horst tenure. It's brutal. Now, you're not drafting in the top 10, okay? You're not drafting in the top 5. You're not even really drafting in the top 15. But there's got to be more, like, hits. And I'm not even sure there is a hit. And the one guy that's a massive hit is not even on the team anymore. Toronto selects Jonathan Mogbo, center out of San Francisco. So if you're the Bucks, if you want a name, there are still some names between Kolek and Filipowski and Furphy. I don't know what they're going to do here with 33. Maybe they, again, at 23, took Johnson because they thought, who knows what's going to happen? That's the guy we want. And then at 33, there will still be somebody left by our accounts that we think can contribute this year. But here again, here are the picks of John Horst in the past. DJ Wilson at 17 in 2017 and Sterling Brown at 46. And both of those guys, we've fallen in love with all of these guys. We've fallen in love and thought of the potential of all of these guys. DJ Wilson did not work. Sterling Brown did not work. Dante was here when they won, but was injured. And then he has had great success. And now he's with the Villanova Knicks, who may have done enough to catch Boston. I mean, I know that a lot of New York media is going a little too crazy on the Knicks, but maybe they're not going crazy enough. 2020, Jordan Wara, which again, we've seen, like, each of these guys, I think, have had the Jordan Wara game. Or there was at least like two possessions in a row. That's all it qualifies. Two possessions in a row where they scored. And you thought, man, this is the guy. This could be, you know, a piece. We're not even, like, that's the thing. And Thon Maker, you know, Thon Maker, I celebrated the Thon Maker pick before all of this because I thought, yes, the Bucks are taking swings. If they're ever going to win, you have to take swings. You're not going to get big free agents here. It's hard to make big trades. So the draft is the way to do it. And you got to draft guys who at 10 or 17 or 24 in the future are going to be looked at as, oh, in a redraft, he'd be 3. He'd be 2, like Giannis. But as rare as Giannis is, we got to remember, as rare as Giannis is, none of these guys were ever going to be another Giannis. And there's a lot of, like, projects here. Sandro Mamukelashvili, I think that, you know, I liked him. And he gets decent minutes when he has to play for the Spurs, but I don't know. Is our team any different with him? Marjan Beauchamp gets a few games of playing time and then disappears again. Works out like he is an all-NBA workout dude. He's over in Greece working out. Andre Jackson Jr. gives good minutes and then disappears in the playoffs once we get a new coach. Chris Livingston, remember last year, he told teams, don't draft me. I've got a team I want to go to. It was the Bucks. This list that you're seeing here, DJ, Sterling, Dante, Wara, Mamu, Georgios, Kalatsakis, Marjan Beauchamp, Andre Jackson Jr., Chris Livingston, AJ Johnson. These picks haven't panned out. So this is the track record. This is what I'm saying. And I understand where they are, but they're also in the same ballpark of where Horst took AJ Johnson. So, sure, you took a guy who is a project, who is a couple of years to go, in a draft full of a lot of projects, who there may not be a lot of impact guys. And so maybe the best thing to do was to take a swing. Could you have traded this pick for future picks because you are basically barren when it comes to picks in your future? Maybe, but they didn't do that. I think my big concern with the pick at 23, and we'll find out 33 in a minute, but my big concern is if they are going to take a guy for the future, why is John Horst the one entrusted in that pick when you see the track record that he has behind him? Kyle Filipowski has been selected by the Utah Jazz. So anybody holding out hope for Kyle Filipowski, that will not be the case. The Bucks are on the clock. I'll get some YouTube comments here in a minute. Again, the Bucks have picked number 33. We will see who they will select. I'm just tweeting Bucks on the clock. All right. Let's see some other comments here. Again, Mark, oh, you saw me tweet that. Let me get off of there. Not that I'm hiding anything. Couple of different comments. Do I think Bronny gets drafted? I do at 55 by the Lakers. Would you draft Bronny if you're another team? What are you going to do? Hold him hostage? That's just, I think teams have thought about it in a video game. I might, but this is a real kid here. That kind of sucks. Also, if I draft Bronny James, am I sure Bronny's not telling Pops what I'm telling him? You would have to like go through a year of kind of smokescreen stuff. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think the Lakers just take him. And the fact that Dalton Connect fell to them. Who, maybe the Bucks should have tried to get up to 17. They could have done 23. If they did 23 and 33 up to 16 or 17 or whatever team was willing, I think the value there is right. And they got Dalton Connect, a kid who can play. I mean, he's 23. That's why he's fallen. But he can play right away. I would have been happy about that. Jason Tatum tweeting, a lot of teams going to regret passing on Flip. Okay, your team passed on Kyle Filipowski. So, all right, we'll see. Joel says, Marjan seems lazy. No, dude works hard. These workout videos, it's like I only see workout videos of him. And the only videos I see of him are workout videos. So I think he works out hard. It's just when he gets on the court, he's not that impactful or involved. If you guys see the pick, if it comes early, feel free to share. I do not care about being spoiled today of all days. I will deal with that. I'm actually going to look and see if Shams has it right now. Not yet. So the Bucks on the clock here at pick number 33. ESPN says the best fit for the Bucks is Tyler Kolek. I think a lot of Bucks fans would be fine with that. Not just so much the fact that he is a Marquette guy and we've seen him, but also I think he could play. We need guys that can get buckets, and we need dudes that can defend. He could be a guard. He could be a big man. We need like guys that can do both of those things. It's all about these 3-and-D guys. 3-and-D guys are nice, but I want like a 3-and-2-and-D guy. I don't just want a guy who, am I wrong about that? I don't just want a guy who sits on the perimeter on both ends of the court. I want like a guy who, and that's the thing. This AJ Johnson might be a guy like that. Great. But he ain't ready. And he ain't going to be ready for a couple of years, which the Bucks don't have. I mean, what are you guys like? Are we thinking that the Bucks are going to have Damian Lillard for like 3 years from now? Do the Bucks have Damian Lillard? I don't know. Let's see. Giannis is under contract forever. Well, till 28. Dame is under contract. He's got a player option. Maybe I guess so. He's got 48 this year, about 54 next year on the max. And then he's got a player option. He'll probably take a $58 million player option, right? When he's 36 years old. Because what other, I don't know, we'll see. But unless you can sign for 2 for $30, but that, no, you take the player option. If you have a $60 million player option and you're not going to get a max, you take it. But I don't know what shape he's going to be in 36. I think he'll be markedly better than he was last year. But maybe that's what we're doing. Maybe we're building, guys, maybe we're building for 2026, 2027. We're going to have Giannis under contract. We will assume Dame opts in his player option, or we'll give him like a different 2-for-1 deal. He'll be 36. Middleton will be off the books even after he takes his player option for next year. Brooke will have been long gone. Bobby and Pat, if they take their player options, will be long gone. We'll still have Andre Jackson Jr. under contract, and we have a club option on Chris Livingston. So maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe the Bucks have seen, you know what, that Celtics team, they were pretty good, going to be hard to beat. Maybe we're going to say, oh, my goodness. Those Knicks, they really have worked very hard. And maybe that's what we're doing. All right, the answer to number 33, and thanks you guys for chiming in on this. They're going to the podium right now. And it will be Tyler Smith. I did not freeze. He's a forward from the G League Ignite. All right. Boy. Real smart move, Bart. Do a live broadcast talking about a guy you do not know anything about. Tyler Smith. Coming in on ESPN's Best Available. He is not on the top 25. Okay. Let's go to the next 25. No, please tell me it's because he got drafted that they took him off. Tyler Smith. Yeah, okay. It's because they drafted him. All right. Tyler Smith. Strengths. Smith was a bright spot for G League Ignite last season. His inside-outside scoring ability made him extremely productive on a per-minute basis. He averaged 13 points and 5 boards in 22 minutes per game. He had more difficult transition defensively and his room to improve his feel for the game. The verdict, Smith thrived in a simplified role, shooting the three consistently with a high release point and putting several defenders on posters, attacking in a straight line or finishing lobs. While the 19-year-old remains raw in some areas, his combination of youth size and scoring ability is intriguing. Well, that's it. I think that this is another guy that might have potential. And he's 19. My guy, Linnell, legit ton of upside, great length, can shoot the three. What's up, man? Just trying to figure out what the hell the Bucks are doing. Your Wizards, what a day. 48% shooting percentage. Didn't draft another AJ, that's a plus. Linnell loves Tyler Smith. Okay. You got to trust this guy. You got to trust this guy out of DC. Find him on Infinity Sportsnet. He knows what he's talking about more than me. So again, I have declared now. Here is my final declaration for the Bucks. Bucks are aiming for the 26-27 chip. LFG. Because like I said, Giannis will still be here. Dame will take his player option. Mid's off the books. Brooks off the books. Pat and Bobby off the books. The starting five in 2026, 2027 will be Dame and AJ Johnson and Tyler Smith and Giannis and Steph Curry will come here for a year to play it out because he wanted to always see what would have happened if he got traded instead of Monte Ellis. So that is what will happen all these years from now. This is good. Smith is who Ty Windisch said he wanted this morning on the award-winning Steve Zabin Morning Show. Well, if it's good enough for Ty, it is good enough for me. I got some guy here, Tyler Smith. That sounds like a made-up name. We're just drafting made-up names there. Tyler Smith. What's a Tyler Smith? Don't we have an intern here named Tyler Smith? So, Tyler Smith today. This is a great point by Joel. He says, what if we drafted Smith yesterday and then AJ Johnson today, we would have been happy. Yeah, maybe. I think so. But as Bucks fans, I might push back on that because aren't we the most happy when we are unhappy? Isn't that truly what we like? Like, sure, we let ourselves celebrate and be excited about the championship, but that was only because we were coming off of COVID and we were all sad and there was no Summerfest. So we got to like hang out. I'm just reading some reaction. Kristen Peek from Yahoo, who I became a huge fan of last night because she just shit all over the Zach Edey to Memphis pick. Tyler Smith will bring additional size and floor spacing as a 3-point shot threat in an already established Bucks team with a lot of different options offensively. It's clear the Bucks are focused on adding some youth and upside to the roster with their two picks. Ooh, New York via Portland is taking Tyler Kolek at 34. Interesting. Yeah, the Knicks, dude. Knicks are going to be good. All right, a lot of pro Tyler Smith. Here's an article from Mark Spears. Prospect Tyler Smith using bowling to relieve pressures of draft. Wearing 16 and a half size bowling shoes, the 19-year-old forward became addicted to the sport a couple years ago. Oh, so he's super into bowling? Wasn't there just another article about a guy that was super into bowling? So he's super into bowling. Maybe he'll check out the you guys go to Bay Shore yet? And that like arcade movie theater bowling? The arcade. That's a money suck. The movie theater's good. But then there's a bowling alley where like it's impossible to pay for. It's impossible to get started. There's employees there. And you find them, and they're like, yeah, where do you pay? You're like, well, how do I set up a game? And they're like, I just clean the lanes and help you with your ball when you get the lane. Oh, well, then how do I get the lane? I can't answer that. I don't know. So it's really weird. But we did go there a couple of weeks ago with the kid, and We paid for an hour and we finished one game. But it's a lifelong addiction to bowling now. And actually, my son's never asked me about it again. Does not seem to care. All right, so the Bucks, AJ Johnson, the Bucks, Tyler Smith, free agencies this weekend. Will the Bucks do anything? Probably not. There is probably an 85% chance the offseason for the Bucks is over. And we will all get back here and commence when the season starts. Again, you are listening to Into the Winklerverse, brought to you by our friends at Happy Place Hemp, happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART. We're on the Dan Shaney YouTube as well. Check out Dan Shaney Insurance. He is my agent. He can be yours. Let him know you heard him on the Winklerverse podcast or from Bart Winkler. Carl's Place, they've got the golf simulators. carlofet.com/BART as well. Oh, one other thing that I forgot to say. Guess who's back? Guess who's back in my life? Guess who I got an email from? Longtime listeners of the show will know this. Emma Baker. Remember her? She used to email me all the time about tickets. We started to think she was a bot. She is. But she's back. Because then I emailed her. I said, are you a bot? And I haven't heard from her in 5 years. Bart, we'd love to have you catch more Bucks basketball next season. I'm reaching out. Don't you want to see the Lakers, Warriors, and more? No phone number. Because she does not have one. Because she does not have arms or ears to pick up and talk to on a phone. Nor does she have a brain, for she is a robot. They're here. All right, when we come back, I am going to fill out and fulfill my duties as a Packers shareholder. I get to vote on who's on the board. I will take you through that process coming up into the Winklerverse. People want to know, as a Packers shareholder, what some of the privileges are. I think the main thing that we hear from people that are not Packers shareholders are, What do you get a check every year? No, do not get a check every year. I look at it as I've already paid $300 for the comfort that my team will not only never move, but there will never be any BS. We need more money. Should we move? Should we move? If there was no shareholder thing in Green Bay. Every year. Hey, should Portland get a team? Hey, should Mexico City get a team? Hey, why don't they move the Packers to London? Hey, why don't they move the Packers to Memphis? We would be the team all the time. And taxpayers would have to pay absorbent amount of monies just to keep the team here, and they would never stay. So as a Packers shareholder, oh yeah, I've paid to keep the team here. And I feel pretty damn good about it. And on my run, I help build seating in the south end zone to eliminate or provide options to the unique charm of the bleachers. Because if you're ever going to come to Lambeau, sit in the bleachers. There is a unique charm of it. But if you're ever going to go to Lambeau a second time, sit somewhere else. But not inside in the club level, because they close you in like a prison and they blast the radio in your ears. But I did get some mail this week, which is a duty that I have as a shareholder, and I would like to share it with you. It comes in this excellent envelope. It's addressed just to shareholders. I've got the logo on my shirt of a shareholder. This is merch, by the way, that you can only buy the day of the shareholders event. So sure, I could put this on eBay and a non-shareholder could get it. I could take it to Goodwill, sure. But this merch is only sold for a two-hour window, of which shareholders get 10% off any item in the Packer Pro Shop, I believe. I have received four tickets that I can give to pretty much anyone that I want. These are still real printed tickets. You value real printed tickets? I still got them. They don't make you download an app for this. The annual shareholders meeting is Monday, July 22nd at 3 o'clock. This year, they're actually having practice the day of. Normally, they do it before, want you to sit around and then do a practice. But now, they do it where they're doing practice early. Then you're going to get lunch, and then you're going to go sit in the hot Lambeau sun. Brilliant. I've been once. Might go this year. We'll see if it can work out with work. Look at this. Look how many pages this is. It's a packet of information. I'm important. Okay. The Packers are pleased to host the 2024 annual meeting of shareholders. We look forward to hosting you and your guest. You'll be provided your tickets. A webcast is available for shareholders to view the meeting online. Please cast your vote. Look what's in caps. Please cast your vote. It's very important to the organization. Okay. So the team is asking that if I don't come in advance, that I can vote. And what I'm trying to vote on are who is going to be the board of directors. God. See how important I am? That board of directors that you thought could fire Mark Murphy, I get to pick them. Only shareholders can vote. Here are the nominees. So there's a bunch of people that are already directors. Okay. Your board is 43 members at this time that are divided into three classes. Two directors whose terms would not expire at the meeting are retiring from the board because they're going to be 70. Another director whose term would expire at this meeting is also retiring for this reason. In total, 15 directors will be elected at this meeting. The remaining directors will continue to serve terms. There are 14 directors currently serving in the class whose terms expire at the end of the meeting, 13 of whom the board has nominated to continue as directors. In light of the retirement of one director in this class, the board has also nominated a person for election to the class who has never filled in the class before. Each director elected to serve in this class will serve a term of 3 years. In light of the directors in the class who are retiring and action by the board to decrease the size of the board by one member, shareholders will also elect one director to serve in the class of directors whose terms otherwise end in 2025. So they're trying to shrink the board. This will result, upon completion of the election at the meeting, in 14 directors serving whose class terms expire in 2027, 13 who expire in 2025, and 15 who expire in 2026. So that would be 15 plus 13 is 28 plus 14 is 42. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So 12 plus 14 is 28 plus 16 is 44. So do two people not get on the board? Normally I vote and everybody gets on the board. But how many nominees do we have here? 1, 2, 3. I'm going to count this. Hold on. Let me count this. Okay. I've counted again. I've recounted and re-added. There are 42 spots to be filled. There are 42 nominees. What kind of gerrymandered shit is this? But I take my responsibility seriously. So I have an actual document. Now I could scan and vote, but I like to fill it out and send it back, which I did get a self-addressed stamped envelope. And I like to do that because I want to make them actually work over at 1265. Election of directors. Oh, so what I can do is I can vote for all. I can withhold all. So I can vote for nobody. I can send this back, vote for nobody, vote for everyone, or withhold someone. I can basically say, no, I don't want to vote for you. People that are up for vote include the Chancellor of the University of Green Bay, the Chairman of Aaron's, the CEO of Green Bay Packaging, voice of the Packers, and WBAY's Bill Jarts. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, he's never been on the board before, but I'm going to vote for everyone available except Michael Alexander. Michael Alexander, because he's the chancellor at Green Bay, and I don't like that they hired Doug Gottlieb. Because, again, if Doug Gottlieb succeeds as the coach, it shows that my radio job is not hard, and I don't want that to be exposed. So I'm going to say that I am coming to the meeting. I can always ditch out later. I will bring three of my closest friends, and I will sign within the box here, Bart Winkler. On the date that it is. All right, I'm sending in my vote. It is in a self-addressed stamped envelope. Nothing else I need to do. I have voted for everyone except for the chancellor of UW Green Bay as a punishment, as a protest vote. This is basically what this is. The nominees have already been decided. The primary is over, but I am voting against the chancellor of UW Green Bay. And I have now executed to the fullest of my abilities the duties of a Green Bay Packers share owner. The question now becomes, does this actually see the mailbox? Or do I do what I normally do, this, and then end up throwing it away? We'll see how vindictive I get about Doug Gottlieb. If I mail this in, that means that I am actually mad about that. But if I don't, that means that everything I do in my life is just a bit. And just me trying to retire by the time that I'm 50, which looks less likely by the day. Go Pack, go.